This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it!
Listen every day, Monday through Friday, from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. According to Jim is your source for Chiefs talk.
10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, a 106-yard kickoff return right out of the gate.
The Royals.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
College football and college basketball.
8 to shoot, Hall, the runner.
And everything else that's going on in the sports world.
Inside corner, the Royals, 2015 World Champions.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's your host, Jim Joyner.
Let's do this thing, a Tuesday edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me, of course, the most popular man in this town, Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, good afternoon.
God, we're even a little early today.
I know, it's kind of dark.
So we're going to have to fill the
like
airways with total babble, aren't we?
Well, that's what we do most days anyway. Well, yesterday we mentioned that we wanted to dive into what's going on in the college football race, but because of all the madness that happened last Friday night at McPherson Stadium, we didn't really have the opportunity to do that. And there were so many things that happened this weekend. We talked about how it was a great college football day, and then a dud of an NFL day. And last night, that NFL game wasn't really very exciting.
Well, Matthew Stafford threw for about 360 yards and 2 touchdowns, and I had to start him this week as my fantasy football quarterback, so it was exciting
for me. Green Bay's offense is just
terrible. Oh, my gosh. And if you go to Sell On Sports tomorrow, it's mid-season report card time in the NFL, and I give my grades for every team in the NFL. And the way I did my grades is what I thought they would be at the start of the year and what they are now. So you might see a team like the Jets with a high grade, and you're going to say, how can the Jets have a high grade? Well, the Jets were thought to just be, you know, dog food before the season. And they've won 4 games and only lost 5. So, I mean, they weren't even supposed to win more than 2 games this season. So I gave them
people thought they were going to go 0-16.
Yeah, and them and Cleveland for the number one draft pick. Well, the Jets have certainly, you know, they're not going to be get the number one draft pick. That's either going to be Cleveland or San Francisco. But anyway, look for that tomorrow on Sell On Sports, my report card. And the professor has given his grades.
And we're thinking we will do the same thing. And on the promo for today's show, we thought we might run that today, but it was a little bit of a change on Sell On Sports, and so we're going to run that
tomorrow.
Yeah,
we did. And Sell On Sports Day, if you haven't checked out our website today, chatted with Coach Adrian and got a lot of thoughts on the soccer season this past year. So got about a 700-800-word story on the McPherson High soccer season, wrapping it up. So great year for the Bullpups.
Yeah, great year.
Third in the state. And it was fun to do all their home games. I mean, we'd never done boys soccer before. We've done girls soccer, but we hadn't done boys soccer. And had a lot of people respond. There were some pretty cold nights for soccer toward the end of the year, and people were glad that we were doing the games on the radio.
Yeah, it was cool that we got to take part of a lot of the coverage of that, and for a place that has never really had a lot of soccer on the radio, I thought we had a fun year of talking about them, and yeah, a good time, and now only down to football before basketball starts going on December the 1st. Yesterday, Steve, I printed out, and I think I dropped one on your desk, our broadcast schedule for all the games, so everybody at the station knows, hey, this day we have to make sure we have somebody here. Starting to feel a little bit like basketball
season.
Yeah,
it really is.
And especially with college starting this week.
Yeah, and another reason it's starting to feel like high school basketball, tomorrow Taylor Robertson be signing her national letter of intent with OU. Friday, Ben Pyle, his national letter of intent with Western Illinois. And then on Monday, Mandy Cooks will be signing with the University of Texas San Antonio. Now, of course, Mandy will not be playing as far as we know this season. Just depends how her rehab comes along. Mandy Cooks scored 20 in the state championship game last year. Has been a four-year, you know, started the basically been the starter the last 3 years. She tore Achilles over the summer. Currently undergoing rehab, and hopefully there's still an outside chance, maybe at the end of February toward sub-state time, you know, that she might get on the court. I don't think Coach Chris Strathman's really counting on it. If he does, if she does return, that could only be a plus. But Mandy will be signing her letter of intent on Monday. So three Bullpups will be signing National Division I letters of intent in the next 5 days.
Very cool. Well, speaking of basketball, we'll talk a little bit on the second half of today's show, a little bit about KU, a little bit about K-State, and the Wichita State Shockers as they get their season going on Friday.
And the unofficial Mayor's Cup.
That's true, Wednesday. Central Christian, Mack College, the Steve Sell unofficial Mayor's Cup.
I call it the Roger Trimble unofficial Mayor's
Cup. If I start calling it that, I think it's going to catch on. And there's going to be nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, we've kind of called it the unofficial Mayor's Cup the last 4 or 5 years in my story. So Roger Trimble started that. And, you know, when that series first started, it was all McPherson College pretty much. But once Tony Romero got on the scene, boy, things have really evened up.
Yeah, well, we mentioned that we want to dive back into a little bit of the college football scene from last weekend, and I think that one of the big bright spots, at least in the Big 12, was that K-State picked up a win to get them to 5 wins, and now coming down the home stretch for them, which will not be easy, but as long as they can pick up 1 win, the Wildcats will be bowl eligible, and they picked up a nice win at Texas Tech the other day, winning 42-35 in overtime. Steve, we thought at the beginning of the year, I think you and I were on the same page, that I thought this K-State team was a 9-win team, potentially a 10-win team, and maybe part of that was because I thought a little bit less of TCU, but of course things have not gone so well for the Wildcats this year, but if they can get to a bowl game and keep this team together for at least another game, even though it's been kind of a weird team, it would be good for them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it had to do losing Jesse Ertz. Now, it's really been interesting. It seems like every week Coach Snyder's saying, I think he might be good to go this week. Well, there's been no indications. And I'm just wondering if deep down he's not playing the rest of the year. He's just planting that seed in the, you know, the bug in the ear of the opponent every week that really Jesse Ertz won't play the rest of the year. Although I've not seen anything that's indicated he's out for the rest of the year. It's been a week-to-week thing. And whatever he has, you know, Coach Snyder does not reveal injuries. We know it's a knee, I believe, what has gotten out. But I just thought that really turned the season around. Now, Alex Delton did an incredible job in the Oklahoma game, not so great against KU. Skylar Thompson now is the flavor of the month because he came off the bench and led them to the victory over Texas Tech. And really, if K-State loses that game, they probably don't make a bowl game. Now I think they've got a great chance. I know they've got Iowa State's the last game.
West Virginia this week.
West Virginia this week, and that is at where?
It will be in Manhattan.
Okay.
And then at Oklahoma State next weekend.
You got to figure they'll lose at Oklahoma State. I think they beat Iowa State at home. This West Virginia game, their bowl eligibility comes down to this. West Virginia's not been a very good team on the road. KU ran all over West Virginia, even though West Virginia won
big. Scored about 86 points.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert had – or the running back for KU had almost 300 yards. So what do you think Alex Barnes and, you know, they're going to do? K-State will beat West Virginia at home this week. I think they realize they're in a must-win situation. I think K-State wins two of their last three. They get bowl eligible. Go to the Chick-fil-A Bowl or the potato chip bowl or whatever.
The famous Idaho potato bowl.
Yeah, the famous.
Don't sell that thing short, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, if you win, you get a whole bunch of potatoes to take
You get
home
to play
with
at the blue turf.
Yeah,
in Boise.
That's true.
I mean, that's a pretty big honor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big honor. But K-State, quite honestly, it has been a disappointing season. Injuries have played a role. But also some, to me, they've gotten kind of in this mode where, boy, they just want to run the ball all the time, and Alex Barnes is the guy that should be running it more, but K-State has really – it's been about their quarterbacks running the football, and that's one reason they've had injuries to their quarterbacks, because they put their quarterbacks so much at risk because the number of times they carry the football.
Well, the other sort of bummer in this area that came from Saturday was that the Kansas Jayhawks finally moved into last place in the Big 12. They had been – dangling there because Baylor had not won a game yet this year. And then Baylor, who was winless, went into Lawrence as a 7.5-point favorite. And I don't know if we talked about it on the show, that this was the first time in this century that a team that was 0-8 or worse, or 0-8, 0-9, 0-10, went on the road and was a 7.5-point favorite or more.
Well,
and
I know.
They won by 29
and, you know,
points.
I talked.
It's brutal.
My sister is a KU grad. She lives in Lawrence. She teaches at KU. And she called me to invite me for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, later this month. And, of course, she is as big a sports fan, maybe bigger than I am. I mean, I get my sports from my sister because, I mean, she is a diehard, especially KU sports fan. And she is just fit to be tied. She can't even stand to watch the games. She's just so upset. She's counting the days off until KU opens the basketball season. She's already, you know, talking about, God, we got to get Kentucky. You know, we get Kentucky early. We're going to get them. So it's really been very hard for her. You know, she and her husband have season tickets. They haven't been to a game. They won't go to a game until this thing kind of gets turned around.
So you're saying they don't want to go watch them play OU?
Oh, no, no. And I mean, if you know, if there was any way KU could get out of that game, maybe they'll have an outbreak of chicken pox or measles or something. They'll just cancel the game, forfeit the
game. The West Nile virus
will
pop back up.
Because if they only lose 1-0 for a forfeit or 2-0, whatever it is, I can't remember if it's 1-0 or 2-0 anymore. Just depends on what the particular year it is, it seems like. But, you know, KU playing Oklahoma is just going to be a train wreck. I mean, Oklahoma better bring everybody they've got on the roster because they can score about every third play. I really thought KU's defense had turned it around the way it played against Kansas State. But then Baylor just, after the first about two or three series, I mean, they just threw the ball up and, you know, every play was a 10, 15-yard gain. And KU's offense just, again, disappeared back into the abyss. Carter Stanley, you know, had that great game against K-State with 418 and then was just awful, you know, last week. They even put Peyton Bender, he of the cement feet, back into the game. And, man, it is just tough. And then I go every day just online to read the All Hawks All the Time. It's the Lawrence Journal-World's KU sports website. And I really feel for their guys having to try to write about this football team. It's kind of like back in the 1990s when I wrote Bullpup Football and I didn't know what to say. You know, we had those back-to-back 0-9 seasons. That was pre-Tom Young, of course. And, you know, it's hard to write about a team that gets pounded every week. You know,
feature story on the left guard who is not great, but he's not that bad.
Yeah. So really tough time for KU football. And my sister said she thinks – it's going to start at the AD. She thinks Shane Zinger will be the first one to go, and she thinks Zinger will get the axe after football season, but they'll keep Beatty because it's such a buyout. How many times can you go to billionaire David Booth and say, "Dave, cut me a check for $4 million so we can get this football mess. You know, let's try the next coach. You know, who's the next flavor of the month?" KU just cannot seem to hit on a football coach ever since Mark Mangino was there. And then you look at Iowa State and you see what Matt Campbell's done. You know, Scott Frost is a hot name around the country. I mean, they have just not been able to hit on the right guy to get the thing turned around. And quite frankly, if you were a good football coach, unless you were paid just out, you know, millions and millions, why would you want to go and try to turn that thing around unless you just really enjoy the challenge?
I can't believe that they thought or that David Beatty didn't turn out great, and they missed on that hire because, man, all that coaching experience that he had as a head guy, I mean,
well, you look
can't
at,
believe they missed.
You look at how much money KU pours into its football program. It's like, since Beatty's been there, it's like, you know, $3 million for each win. You know, that's just, that's insane. I mean, because when you look at his overall.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it cost him $3 million to win one game. So, my gosh, it's just... it's just really hard to take, and thank God basketball is just around the corner. In fact, tonight KU plays Fort A State and Kyler Kinnaman.
Matchup of the year.
Yeah, against Devontae Graham. And it was really funny because Kurt Kinnaman, the Bullpup coach, got a text from one of the KU assistants. He says, "I know our game plan is we got to trap number 5, which is Kyler's number." And Kurt forwarded that to Kyler, and Kyler said, "Oh, please don't. Please don't. You don't need to double-team me." So Kyler will be starting for Fort Hayes tonight. He has a little bit of a sprained ankle, but I think he'll still be in there.
Well, we were talking about KU football, and so you mentioned the one win from last, well, they had two wins last year, one of them against the powerhouse Rhode Island team out of the FCS, but they play Texas this week down in Austin, and knowing Tom Herman and knowing this Texas team that doesn't score a ton of points, but their defense has been really good, I have a feeling that this game this Saturday down in Austin is going to be an absolute massacre.
And of course, the only real win in David Beatty's 3 years. I don't consider Rhode Island. Who was it? Southeast Missouri State, the other one.
Yeah, really good
Texas
program.
Is the only team they've really beat in 3 years. Do you really think Texas is going to let KU off the hook?
It'll be bad.
It'll be payback. I mean, Texas hadn't been scoring a lot of points, but don't be surprised if they hang about 65 on the Jayhawks this weekend.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
I just, that's all I can see. They finish out the year at Texas, Oklahoma at home, and then at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, on the other side of the break, let's talk a little bit about college basketball, as that part of the year is starting to creep up with pretty much every major Division I team playing on Friday night. Coming up, it's college basketball preview day on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on According to Jim on a Tuesday afternoon here in McPherson, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Of course, if you miss any of these shows and you want to go back and listen to it on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and Steve, it is starting to become basketball season. Of course, you can't say those words in front of Coach Pav and the Bullpup football team because they still got a lot they're hoping to at least play until the end of November. But let's face it, basketball's around the corner. Bullpup basketball kicks off on December the 1st. But college basketball, especially at the Division I level, is mainly starting this week. And when you look at the three state schools with KU, Wichita State, and K-State, if you are going off of the percentages of teams in a state that are ranked, and especially ranked in the top 10, well, Kansas is the mecca of basketball this year.
Yeah, it really is. KU's in the top 10. Wichita State's in the top 10. K-State, I think, you know, coming off an NCAA season, they've had some pretty big graduation hits, though. I think NIT might be more the Wildcats' cup of tea this year. They could sneak in. But a lot depends on how well they shoot the basketball because they're not going to be a great shooting team. I did get a chance to talk to Cade Kinneman. I was happening to be around Cade, who, of course, Kurt Kinneman's nephew. He's on the K-State basketball team. And he said, Cade told me that Dean Wade has been an absolute monster in practice. The NBA scouts have been kind of sniffing around. And Dean's 6'10", but he's very versatile, can put the ball on the floor, can shoot the three. Dean's just got to realize at times he's got to take games over. He could be an 18 to 20 point a game score if he really wanted to, but he's always kind of sat back, you know, in the shadows and let other guys do it. Well, he's the guy now. K-State's got a great backcourt, though, in Stokes and Brown, and then Dean up front, but they got to find some pieces to fill in around him. They don't have DJ Johnson anymore, and I think that's a big loss because he brought a lot of physical toughness to that team, especially on the inside, and they got to find a big guy to help Dean Wade out.
Well, and Dean Wade is not your typical center, where DJ Johnson is big, and of course he's probably not even quite as big as Dean Wade, but big and physical and plays tough down low, and that's not quite the same game that Dean Wade will play, where he plays a lot out on the perimeter.
Well,
he's a good shooter.
Yeah, he's 6'10", but you have to remember, he grew up, he was a guard, you know, growing up until about his ninth grade year, and then he had a growth spurt. Then he got to about 6'7", then the 6'9", and Cade says he's every bit of 6'10" now. So Dean hadn't finished growing, and he's going to be. I think he'll be an All Big 12 player if he just gets consistent, because he's got the talent. It's just a matter of consistency with him. So K-State, they're going to be a team that ain't going to score a lot of points, but they probably won't allow a lot of points either. They'll play pretty tough defense, but they're only picked, I believe, 8th in the 10-team Big 12, if that makes any sense. But they're picked eighth, but just never know. I know when I watch their exhibition games, I don't see that's a team that's going to beat KU this year. KU, though, they're kind of scary to me because they're not very deep. They're really thin in the post position. It's Azabukwe, Lightfoot, and Preston. Billy Preston is actually a wing masquerading as a big man. He's about 6'9", though, but he is physical, but he would rather be a 3 out on the perimeter because he's an amazing ball handler for somebody 6'9", and can also shoot the three-pointer. But KU's going to go, I believe, as Azubuike goes, because he can be a real force down there, but he can't play more than 30 minutes. He's physically not capable of it.
Well, and a lot of KU's success this year, too, will come down to Devontae Graham. And going into last year, I knew that Frank Mason would be a big-time factor. Now, did I think he would be the National Player of the Year? No. Did I think he would be the Big 12 Player of the Year? No, but maybe. I thought he could for sure be a first-team all-conference guy, but he was a guy that just stepped up so much, and I think that when you take him away from this team, of course, it's a massive hole to fill, but Devontae Graham, to me, can play a similar role. Now, the thing that I don't like as much is that Frank Mason was so good at getting to the basket. Graham last year was mainly a three-point guy.
He was so mentally tough. Yeah. That's what made Frank, and physically tough. For no bigger than he was, and he's, you know, his game has translated to the NBA. He is playing in the NBA. I don't think Devontae Graham has the mental toughness of a Frank Mason. I think he's got some toughness, but it's not like Frank Mason. And Devontae Graham, though, is unquestionable. This is his team. It's not Zvi's team. You know, Zvi, Mike Mikhailu, you know, he's a senior, but it's not his team. This is Devontae Graham's team. He surprised a lot of people by coming back. I think he saw he probably needed a year, kind of like Frank Mason had to boost his draft stock because Devontae was either a very late pick or not getting drafted at all if he would have come out last year. But it's going to be another KU team with one big and a lot of smalls. And I still think the key is Azubuike, and the second key, Billy Preston, the freshman. I think Billy Preston has to average about 12 or 13 points a game. Legero Vick, he'll be Legero Vick.
Bigger
role
this year.
He'll have great games, but he'll have games where he disappears. That's just the way he is. Malik Newman might be the most important newcomer for the Jayhawks. He's going to probably score about 15 points a game. He was supposed to be a one-and-done guy, went to,
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Played 1 year, had a bad foot the whole time, then transferred to KU, redshirted last year. But so far in the exhibition games, he's been really, really solid. So Graham and Newman, it won't be like Mason and Graham in the backcourt, but that's a pretty good backcourt with Malik Newman and Devontae Graham.
And, of course, it is a tough start to the non-conference schedule. And last year, Steve, if you remember, the Jayhawks went to Hawaii, and they played in that Pearl Harbor game against Indiana in the first game of the year, and they lost the game where both teams scored about 100 points. I think it went to at least one overtime, and people were going, oh boy, this KU team, they're not going to be able to play any defense. And that's kind of the way the college basketball has transitioned as a whole, but then they turned around and beat Duke, and then they rattled off about 15, 20 wins in a row, lost at West Virginia, lost at Iowa State in overtime, and then besides losing to TCU in the Big 12 tournament, that was a team that really didn't have any blemishes.
I never put any stock in the Big 12 tournament. KU knows it's going to be a one or two seed every year when it plays in the Big 12 tournament. They play not to get anybody hurt. So it's not a big deal to win the Big 12 tournament because really being a two seed and a one seed, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you might have a little easier first round game, but you should have an easy first round game as a two seed. So it really doesn't matter. That's why I never put much stock. People freak out if KU doesn't win the Big 12 tournament. There's a lot of years KU hasn't won the Big 12 tournament and done just fine. So I don't think they'll be as good as they were last year. I'm curious to see how Sam Cunliffe, when he joins the team in December, a transfer from Arizona State, reportedly a really good three-point shooter. But, boy, they need help in the inside. They need some bigs. Of course, Bill Self has already signed two monster big men for next year. He's already taken steps to alleviate that.
And then, of course, the non-conference games for the Big 12 that KU has been, or for KU that Bill Self has kind of been ripped about for not playing a very tough non-conference. Of course, they play in the Champions Classic a week from today. They'll take on Kentucky as the rotation is now switched to the Wildcats, and that game will be played in Chicago. And then really their only other standout games in non-conference, they'll take on Syracuse down in Miami. They'll play at Nebraska on December 16th and at Stanford on December 21st. Yeah, and that's pretty weak for what they normally play.
Yeah, 2 years ago they had the toughest schedule in college basketball. Last year, a really good schedule. And maybe Bill Self, when scheduling, you know, he kind of looked down the road and saw that maybe this year he needed to schedule just a little lighter, because 2 years ago it seemed like every team KU played was about a top 20, top 15, 10 team in non-conference. Of course, the Big 12, it's going to be wide open this year. I think you're going to see some teams really down. Oklahoma State's going to be way down. Iowa State's going to be way down. K-State is going to be down somewhat. I think West Virginia is the team KU has to look out for, because they've got that toughness. KU never wins in Morgantown. You can just go ahead, write that down right now on your schedules. KU will not win in Morgantown. That's a given.
And they almost had the win a couple of years ago when Perry Ellis missed the layup at the final buzzer, which would have given them the win. But yeah, tough place to play. Okay, the team we didn't talk about, the Wichita State Shockers. Let's talk about them on the other side of the break, because there are a lot of places to think the Shockers will be making another trip to the Final Four this year. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Final segment here on According to Jim. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. We've been talking a little bit about college basketball today, and we got to talk a little bit about the Jayhawks. We got to talk about the K-State Wildcats. But the team that might be trying to slip under the radar here, and really, they're not under the radar. They are on the radar, the Wichita State Shockers at 7 in the AP.
They might be the best team in Kansas.
Which is crazy.
Well, it's not crazy. Greg Marshall, whose house I saw this summer, we were playing golf in a match with Wichita Crestview in our Kansas Cup match. Got to see Greg Marshall's house. Kurt Kinnaman hit a ball over by his backyard.
Ooh,
it wasn't me.
Don't hit the window.
It wasn't me, but Kurt hit a ball almost into Greg's backyard, and let's face it, they're paying him very well to have a house like that.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. The Shockers right now, I don't think KU at this point in the season would want any of the Shockers. The only problem right now for Wichita State is that Marcus McDuffie is out. He'll probably be out another month or so. Landry Shamet is back, but he's limited. He's a great point guard, and he actually has ties. He's related to somebody here in McPherson that I know. And they are going to be a tough out for anybody, and they're going to be tough at home. I noticed I watched their exhibition game last night. It really seems weird because at Coke Arena, they've changed the lighting. It's more like amphitheater-type lighting like the Lakers have. And boy, that was just so weird to get used to. But Wichita State, they'll get 10,666 every game at home, just like KU gets 16,300 for every one of their home games. Wichita State has a chance to be a top five team this year and maybe make the Final Four like they did a few years ago when they had an incredible team that ended up, you know, making quite a run in the NCAA tournament. But Greg Marshall, it's amazing they've been able to keep him, because Wichita State, regardless what you think, they're still considered a mid-major. They're not in one of the Power Five, you know, conferences, even though they're in a new conference this year, the American, what is it called? American Athletic Conference. And we're going to find out how good they are for sure. It makes the Missouri Valley look like chump change.
Yeah.
And this is a tough, tough conference. And I'm not even sure. Were they picked to win their conference? I was not even.
I haven't seen any of that.
I haven't seen a poll, but there's a lot of really good teams in that conference. And when they go on the road, they're definitely going to be tested. It's not going to be like going to normal Illinois or Peoria, Illinois, or playing the Bradley Braves. I mean, they're going to be playing
Northern Iowa. Northern, I mean, tough one.
Hey,
up there.
But Northern Iowa has always been good. I never discount Northern Iowa. It's the kind of the lower dregs of that
Indiana State.
Yeah,
I mean,
Indiana
State. The Sycamores.
State, yeah.
They won the.
Yeah,
they went to the Final Four in 1979.
But this is the best thing I think that could happen to Wichita State is changing conferences. They'd outgrown the Missouri Valley. If they wanted to grow as a program and really keep Coach Marshall, to be honest with you, because I think. You know,
he might have gone to Indiana.
He might have gone to one of the Power Fives. But man, they just keep paying him more and more every year, and he keeps producing. So the Shockers definitely getting their money's worth with Greg Marshall.
All right, pop quiz for you, Steve. They're in the American Athletic Conference. Can you name five teams in the American Athletic Conference?
I want to say
it's a weird league.
I want to say Cincinnati.
Yep.
UConn.
Yep.
Not Louisville. They're the ACC.
Correct.
Now.
They were for like a year.
Yeah. Marquette.
Marquette is in the Big East.
The old, yeah, the new Big East.
Right.
So once I got past those first two, you got me.
So there are also some big ones, SMU, and they were very good last
yes.
year with Shemi Ojeleye. Temple, Tulane, South Florida, Tulsa, and UCF.
Well, and Tulsa, that used to be one of the best rivalries going was Wichita State Tulsa. So
yeah.
That'll be a great, you know, great.
Houston,
yeah,
Memphis.
Houston's always good.
There are some good teams in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Memphis is good. Memphis has always been good.
Did you say UConn?
I said UConn.
I mean, that's a program that, well, maybe the women's team is treated a little bit better there. But
yeah, can you imagine
the men, it's not like
can
they're
you imagine
bad.
The Shocker women playing UConn this
oh,
year?
Boy.
Oh, boy. I just saw the All-American list for women's basketball. UConn has three of the top five on the women's All-American list. Let's just say that Wichita State, if there's running clock in college basketball, that game might be running clock.
Yeah, Gino Auriemma, not a bad coach at all. I listened to an interview with him the other day, and they were going, are you the highest paid employee in the state of Connecticut? And he said, well, no, but Kevin Ollie, the men's coach at UConn, is the only person in the state that makes more money
than
he
does.
How
can UConn pay Kevin Ollie, the men's coach, more money than Gino Auriemma?
He's won a national championship.
Yeah, but Gino's won, what, 11?
Yeah, he's
so,
won a
hey,
couple.
Hey, and he sells out every time they have a home game.
Well, look at that college basketball preview. 2 days in the books here on According to Jim. Tomorrow we will have the NFL midseason grades, and of course you'll be able to find that column on Sell on Sports tomorrow morning on midkansasonline.com. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We will see you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.